opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
And this is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guest news and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. And Diane, what exactly is It Does My Soul Well?
Well, Tim, It Does My Soul Well endeavors to accomplish exactly three things.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and?
Number one, we challenge you to, well, get outdoors.
Now, that's why we're here tonight.
Absolutely. Number two, we inspire you to get healthy.
Hey, Diane, you know what? I have now lost more than 70 pounds. Can you believe that?
I'm impressed. Yep. I am so impressed.
I'm impressed with myself.
I wish you wouldn't have given it to me, though. You lost it. I found it.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah. And so my Peruvian queen here, yes, and I are now helping others to do the same and to lose weight and to get healthy. And that's all part of It Does My Soul Well. And so if anybody out there is listening and they want to get a hold of us, we're going to give some information a little bit. We can help you do the very same thing. My dear bride has lost 31 pounds as of today, and she's celebrating. She's in the studio right now doing her little dance.
She's our cheerleader.
Yeah, I think
she's
that's
so cute.
That's how they do it in Peru. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, number three.
Number three, we encourage you in your spiritual life.
Absolutely. So, excuse me. So Shasta Outdoors Radio is our way to challenge you to get outdoors and enjoy things like hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping, biking, you name it. There's a wide variety of choices, especially here in Northern California. Tonight in the studio, we have with us Ty Sauer.
Oh, yes, that's right. Ty was a longtime resident of Burning, California, and he knows how to find trophy bass in that area.
Yes, I've seen some of his pictures. He's posted on Facebook, and he consistently reels in the big ones. I'm excited to talk with him a little bit. My first chance to actually meet him in person, I believe, and so we'll get to him in a bit. So
I got a poll.
Oh, no, you did not get a pole.
I got a rod.
That's right.
I got a rod.
Oh, man, if Todd Serna is listening tonight and just heard
Todd.
You said pole.
Oh, yeah. I know. There's only one thing you can do with a pole, and I don't do that anymore.
No. Well, you have to be a lot more flexible for that.
That was back in, 30, 40 years ago. So, anyways, but I got a rod.
You got a rod. Awesome.
I think it's... Oh, it's a weird name. It's a funny name. I'm into names.
Right.
Splucker and all that.
Right.
So anyways, but it's pink.
Oh, it's pink. A pink rod.
Yeah. So, you know how when women buy cars, we get in the car, do I look good? That's what we're all about. The men, they want to check out the engine and everything. We just want to know if we look good. That's what I do with a rod.
Right. So you want to make sure your fishing rod looks good
with me
while you're holding it.
Yes.
Right. Very interesting.
My husband might, be into that. That's perfect.
Right. So my question is when are you going to go fishing?
That's next. No, I actually would like to go this week.
Oh, nice.
I really would. So, can you go?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be happy to take you.
Because, you actually do the bait thing and actually touch the fish.
Yep, exactly. So I handle all of it. All you have to do is, I'm like a guide.
You are.
And I give you a kinfolk
guide
deal.
Guide for women.
Man. I don't think anybody would label me that.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think that would be something somebody would call me. But, Diane, anything you've done outdoors in the last week or so?
I have continued to do my late night walks, and I'm really enjoying them because everybody's asleep and everybody's, you know, I mean, I go like at 11:30, you know, midnight. I go out. It's really nice. It's cool out. My dog loves it.
Nice.
And I enjoy the peace and quiet, to be honest with you.
Awesome. You know, if you went to bed like normal people, such as me, you would actually get up early in the morning, just before the sun comes up, and you'd go out then, because then it's really cool.
But there's a lot of early morning people that are out then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all
and
of us.
And then I'm not alone.
And so last weekend, Fanny and I went to Dunsmuir, and we went to the railroad days. We went to the parade. The most exciting part of that was as the floats went by and the trucks went by, they kept throwing candy at people. And so we collected a lot of candy because, you know, we have grandkids, and we just thought we'd bring those to the grandkids. But I don't know if any of our grandkids got a single piece of that candy. I'm just...
Hey, what happened to getting healthy there, brother?
It wasn't me.
Oh!
But then from there, we went to Mossbray Falls. Yes. I had never been to Mossbray Falls. Have you ever been there?
No. In fact, I didn't even know about it. And Todd gave me that look like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, we hiked. So we went to where the trailhead is. I looked it up on the All Trails app, and it gave stern warning. You're going to be on private property. And I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, that is not really a designated trail. And so we pulled up and parked, and we were changing into our shorts and our hiking shoes. And I was a little bit nervous because there's this big sign, no trespassing. And so I'm thinking, man, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? And then pretty soon I looked up, and here came a group of people walking back from the falls down the tracks. And before we got our shoes on, here came another group of people walking up the railroad track towards the falls. And I thought, well, we'll be co-conspirators, you know, we'll be accessories to the crime.
Oh,
and so we took that hike, 1.3 miles, to the base of the falls, and absolutely spectacular. I was blown away at how beautiful it was, just the power of that water hitting the river, the Sacramento River there, coming out of the ferns and the plants, and it's just a wide array of wildlife and water and just absolutely beautiful. When we got down there, there was probably 20 people or so. And I can see why so many people would go there. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend taking that short hike to Mossbray Falls. The only downside is you're going along the railroad tracks, and those rocks are kind of rough and jagged.
Mm.
You know, there are the railroad ties that you can walk on those. For Fanny, it was perfect. You know, she's all of about 5'1". And so for her stride, those particular ties were just perfect for her. And she just bump, 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 just go right along. And for me, it was like,
flippity-clop.
It was like not quite. My stride was about half again where they were. And so I was trying to do the shorter stride, and she could actually go faster because it was just natural for her. But anyway, other than that.
Okay, one more downfall, though.
What?
Trespassing.
Yeah, trespassing.
But
I know.
It looks like it's safe, though, everybody.
And you know what a rule keeper I am. I really am.
Yeah.
You know, and I just had a difficult time, but I just thought, you know, yeah. I went along with the crowd on that one.
You were a follower.
Yep, I was a follower.
That's okay. Sometimes it's okay.
Yeah. And so, hey, on the board tonight, we have Tyler Chapman. How you doing tonight, Tyler?
I'm doing excellent. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. So have you been out and about doing anything fun?
Yeah, I went camping last weekend, all the way out in Deadland. It's middle of nowhere drive. It was terrible. Potholes everywhere.
We got there. Did you say Deadland?
Deadland, yep. It's out there past, what's it called? Big Bend.
Oh, okay. Past Big Bend. All right. So is it along the Pitt River or where?
It's along the 299. I think it might be along the Pitt River. There was a lake there. Not really sure. I'd never been there before.
Okay. There's some nice areas, some beautiful area. I've taken that drive before from Lake Britton all the way down to Big Bend, and it's just beautiful. You get into some great wild areas in there, and I see our guest shaking his head. I imagine he's probably
dead. Did he actually say dead land, like dead land, Deadland?
Deadland, L-U-N-D, like
Deadland,
like German, Deadland. L-U-N-D.
Yeah, okay, I'm here, everybody.
Yeah. And so, hey, Diane, if people want to get a hold of us, how can they do that?
Well, it's pretty easy, Tim. It does mysoul.com, and then we can go to Facebook. Facebook okay. And my soul, it does my soul well.com. Do you want us to do questions tonight?
Yeah,
let's do that. Okay, so if you have any questions, you can text your questions to 530-524-8280. 530-524-8280.
All right.
So we'll have to do that. So
sounds great. Hey, it's time for us to take a break. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
And welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
Diane, we would like to thank our wonderful sponsor, Professional Exterminators. Professional Exterminators has been around for 15 years, and they are definitely aptly named Professional Exterminators because they are the true professionals who will take care of anything from ants to skunks and everything in between. Professional Exterminators is locally owned and operated by Dave and Madonna Silva, amazing people who are an integral part of this community, so no matter what you need, you can call them, and they will give you a zero-obligation free estimate. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Wasn't it nice having him on the show?
Yeah, Dave was here last week. And so if something's bugging you, give them a call, 530-338-2822. Professional Exterminators, 530-338-2822. And so, Diane, for almost 5 years, I lived in Burney, California.
I think I was there, too.
Oh, yeah. You lived up there for a while, too. And you lived in the Hat Creek area.
I did.
Up there by Old Station. Mm-hmm. You and Richie were
managing
the RV park there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so, but I loved the area and enjoyed lots of outdoor activities, including fishing. Well, through Facebook, I started noticing a guy who also lived in the area, and he was posting picture after picture of him holding up some huge bass, and he is here with us tonight. I asked him if he'd come on. I wanted to do a program on fishing in that area. Couldn't think of anybody better than him, Ty Sauer. Ty, welcome to Shasta Outdoors.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Ty.
Well, I just really love the outdoors. Pretty much spend most of my time out there, either in the woods, hiking around, fishing.
Right.
Or I'll just be working.
Right.
I don't like to be indoors too much. It's not my cup of tea.
Right. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. And so, did you grow up in Bernie?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, born in Anderson and went down there. Been down there 23 years now, so.
Right, right. You went to high school there and...
It was off and on from Evergreen to Foothill, then back to Bernie, but mainly Bernie.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Awesome. And I know you're a young man, but I'm guessing you're about 30. Am I right?
I'm 23.
23.
I was about to say, when he said 23 years, I'm like, isn't that how old you are?
I thought he just lost 7 years in there somewhere. Is what I
was you want to lose 7 years.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So, Ty, how did you get into fishing?
Well, it all started from a friend, basically. He just said, hey, come fishing with me, and went out there, and fish blew up on the frog and caught it, and I was like, well, that was real nice. I'm going to do that again, and just kept going, became an addiction, and started just taking it on, and from there, it just started building up its way, and now it's...
Yeah, it's amazing. I have seen lots of the pictures that you have posted, and I mean, you have hauled in some monster bass, and we're talking about up in the Bernie area, the Intermountain area, which if people don't know, that's Fall River Mills, the Hat Creek area, Bernie, California, and MacArthur, all of that area up there. And I know you have fished it quite extensively, right?
Yeah, I've only been fishing the Fall River area probably only 3 years, actually, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And started off at Lake Britton. Then I was like, well, I need some bigger fish, so I got to find something else.
Right.
And then I found the Pitt River, and then it changed it for me then. And then went from there to the big lakes, and big lake, you start finding those giants in there. And they eat all the trout, so they just grow super big, so it's super nice.
Wow. And Big Lake is the name of the lake.
Yeah.
So it's Big Lake, which is outside of MacArthur pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's right there.
And so what are some of your favorite places to fish in the Intermountain area?
I would have to say the Pitt River is definitely a number one.
Okay. Pitt River, like where at on the Pitt River?
My main spots I went to up there in the Fall River area was just the Pitt River Access or the Big Eddy.
Okay.
And those are the main ones I fish. Sometimes I'll throw the kayak in and hit that whole stretch, and it's rewarding in the end. But ever since I found the Little Tule River, that's where I spend a lot of my time.
Okay.
And it's right there off the Big Lake, too. So.
Right, right. And so on the Pitt River, I mean, and you're catching bass in the Pitt River there?
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah, and wow. what kind of bass are you catching?
There's big largemouth, and there's some decent-sized spotted bass in there, too, which not a lot of people know about that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some good spotted bass up in there.
Some good spotted bass up there on the Pitt River. Very interesting. You know, I've done quite a bit of fishing on Lake Britton, going out in my kayak, and I would either catch largemouth or smallmouth. And so that's primarily what I caught, and we might talk a little bit more about some of that. But how accessible, Ty, are these areas up there?
The Little Tule River is pretty nice spot to go. There's a trail all the way around to Big Lake, which is nice. You just got to watch out because there are some big snakes out there. Not a lot of people like those.
Right. I wouldn't be too excited about that myself. So you say that the Tule River?
Yeah.
So explain to our listeners exactly where that is. So somebody that has no idea.
So you pretty much go through Bernie, and you're going to go to Fall River Mills, and you're going to continue to MacArthur, which is just 5 minutes past Fall River. And then you're going to come across Main Street is the name. And you're going to turn left, and it's going to go out a dirt road, and it'll take you to both spots, Big Lake and Tule River. One's left, one's right.
Okay.
Seasonal and year-round.
Right.
Tule River seasonal. You got Big Lake, which is year-round.
Right.
So you just pretty much, you go out there, it's a long little drive, especially with all the potholes from all the mudders out there. That's
right.
Out there when it rains, and
right. It's
rough on the car for sure, but it's rewarding in the end. So.
Yeah, obviously, from what I've seen, it definitely is. Now, when you go there, are you mainly fishing from the shore?
I strictly bank fish. I sold my kayaks.
Okay.
And I just hit the banks all the time. It's how I pretty much learned how to fish and how I like to continue to fish. Really, I mean, if I get a boat, I'll get a boat, no doubt. But
sure.
I like to bank fish just because it's a little bit difficult to do it, but when you catch a giant one from the bank, it's a different feeling than being in a boat and catching another nice big one.
Sure, but, sure. I think that's encouraging for people that they don't have a boat or a kayak or anything like that, that there are places like where you go and you can just fish from the shore, just have your rod and your reel, Diane's rod.
Yes, my rod, my pink rod.
You know, and so when you're fishing there at Thule, what are you using typically to catch them?
Well, when
and you could tell us. Come on.
Yeah,
I know.
You already
I know
gave up your secret spot.
I did. It took a lot of time to figure out what they really liked out there, but me and a good friend of mine named Jodine, we actually figured it out. It was a spinnerbait, half ounce, any color really, but you just had to have that Kytec on the back, a 3.38 or a 3.3 on the back of that. I always throw a trailer hook on the back of it just in case, because I don't like losing big fish, and that happens to me a lot. But spinnerbait out there and a jig on the bottom, just dragging it. And this year I pulled a few 6-pounders, 5-pounders out doing that.
Nice.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. And were those largemouth there?
Yeah, they're all river largemouth out there.
Right, right. Yeah, most of the pictures I've seen of you with fish are the largemouth. And I understand on the spinnerbaits, I've gone out and that extra hook makes all the difference in the world because I've had them hit that spinnerbait left and right and not hook one. And there's nothing more frustrating or just partially hook one.
Yeah.
So if you can have that extra trailer hook on there, and then what do you usually put? Do you put something on the trailer hook itself?
No, I just usually have my spinnerbait, and then I will put the Kytec on, and then I'll put my trailer hook over that.
Right.
And then I'll just a little piece of plastic or a rubber piece or something to hold that so you don't lose your trailer hook.
Sure, sure, to keep that in place. Yeah, I get that. And so that kind of answers my question, but I have seen some pictures of you fishing from like a kayak and a boat and things like that. And so you're telling us there's a different feeling for when you're doing that.
Yeah, I hop on a boat. Like, I fish tournaments with a good buddy of mine, too, that I work with now. Mm-hmm. We will do local little tournaments from Bernie, which is like the Intermountain Bass Club, or it's something like that. I can't remember. I just started doing it with him, but every time I get in that boat, I just little dinkers all day.
Right.
I can't find the big ones, or I'm frustrated, or it's like it's not happening for me. And then I hop out on the bank, and it's just like bang, bang, big.
Wow.
Big.
Maybe we should try that, Tim.
Yeah, well, you can.
What, you don't bank fish?
Well, you need to catch some big ones. I think that would be a good idea. Maybe Ty can take you.
Ty.
I take everyone.
That's right. I'm in.
Yeah, that was one of my questions I had for you. How often do you have people calling you up and saying, hey, man, take me fishing. I see what you're doing.
It actually happens quite a bit. I get at least probably a message a day saying, take me fishing, or where do you fish at? Or I've had a couple of people I've actually taken fishing, and I have put them on a couple 5-pound fish a couple different times. And one of the older ladies, she caught her first 5-pounder, and she was mind-blown and didn't know what was going on. And I was like, this is what it's all about right here.
Right.
I just love to show people how to fish and what it's really like.
Do you ever get so much fish that you just end up, you know, just catching and releasing? Because you have so much probably to eat, it's ridiculous, huh?
I strictly catch and release.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't eat fish.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's awesome. That when I take people fishing with me, my greatest joy is when they catch fish, you know, because I know I can go out there and I can catch fish, and I have sort of my own techniques and what I do, and I try to teach that. And sometimes it's not easy for somebody else, you know, when they're doing it for the first time and you've been doing something for years, and when they go out and to try to communicate to them the right way to go about catching the fish, sometimes can be a bit of a challenge. But it's exciting when you're with someone and you've taken them out fishing and they've caught a nice fish, and just to watch the expression on their face and the joy of doing something like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I actually got to take a couple kids out yesterday to a pond around here, and they both actually caught their biggest bass they've ever caught on a topwater frog, and I taught one of them how to use a bait caster, which it takes a lot to learn those rods and reels because
yes,
you got the backlashes coming in, you got... It's just a whole lot, but he had it down in 5 minutes and hooked a fish on that frog within 10 minutes, so I was really impressed with
him. Wow, very nice. Well, listen, we have got to take a break here, and when we come back, we will be talking with Ty Sauer, and we've been talking about fishing up in the Burney area. A lot of great places to go bass fishing. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors.
Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the side of the street, yeah.
Get a great deal on select Kubota equipment, the number one rated tractor brand for durability and owner experience in the U.S. The versatile lineup features performance-matched attachments to help you make the most of your land. Right now at participating dealers, get a Kubota compact tractor for zero down, 0% APR for 84 months, now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com/offers for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey-gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey-gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited-time ooey-gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Jim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
Hey, Diane, we've got another sponsor we'd like to thank tonight.
We sure do. Caliber Office Furniture, Tim. Shasta Outdoors would like to thank our sponsor, Caliber Office Furniture. If you work from home, it can be a challenge to make do with the space you have available. Caliber Office Furniture makes it easy for you. All you have to do is go to caliberoffice.com. That's Caliber Office, C-A-L-I-B-E-R, office.com. Select work from home, and there you'll find a beautiful selection of desks, chairs, and accessories. And it's all on sale right now with free shipping directly to your home. Again, that's caliberoffice.com. And thank you, Chris Cable and Caliber Office Furniture, for sponsoring this program.
Very, very much appreciated. Diane, have you made it out to the fair?
I contributed money for my grandchildren and children to go to the fair, though.
What about me? You didn't contribute money to me.
Well,
to go. I'm going tonight.
Yeah, but I think they are actually giving seniors discounts already.
Oh, man. Okay.
Ah, gotcha.
Yes, you did. And so, anyway, hey, we are talking with Ty Sauer, and we're talking about fishing up in the Intermountain area. That's Burney and Fall River Mills, MacArthur, all of that area up there. I lived up there for nearly 5 years, and I think, especially for bass fishing, because that area, Ty, a lot of times people, when they think of that area, they think trout fishing, right?
Oh, yeah. They think, like, world record trout, trophy trouts, that's all there is out there. And that's right. What I've heard a lot.
Yeah. There's Hat Creek that's flowing through there, the Pitt River. People go out there with their fly rods, and they do. They catch some nice trout, and so there's some excellent trout fishing up there. There's no doubt about it. Have you ever done that kind of fishing?
Actually, at the beginning of the year when I got back from Tennessee, that's what I was doing because the bass were still cold.
Right.
They weren't moving around as much. I mean, I was still trying for them bass, but it wasn't happening, and I ended up hooking a 7.5-pound rainbow trout just standing right there on the bridge.
Oh, my word.
8-pound test.
You have the touch, that's for sure.
I was like, oh, God, what do I do?
Right. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Diane?
You know, whenever I think of river, I think of trout. I don't think of, you know, getting bass on typically on river, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's is it not typical to have bass fishing on the river, or is Pitt River just so large? I mean, I've never really looked at Pitt River, but is it really a wide area?
It's a decent river. It gets pretty big in some spots, and then it'll narrow out, and then it gets super wide. But where I'm fishing, you can catch a lot of different species. You can catch from trout to catfish to crappie to bluegills to bass, spotted bass, even the Sacramento pikes. Which was like the trash fish of the waters.
Yeah, when you get a Sacramento pike, at least for me, it's like, oh, man.
they fight good, but...
Yeah, they're, I mean, hey, it's still fun to catch one.
Yeah.
But they're so slick and slippery and getting them off the hook sometimes, and they can be very aggressive, and they like to swallow the whole thing. And,
yeah.
And when I go up there, as a matter of fact, Fanny and I, tomorrow, we are going to go up to Lake Britton. And this time of year when it starts to warm up, and it still might be a little bit early, but the smallmouth start swimming up to where the Pitt River and Hat Creek converge and come in there, and I think they really like that cooler water. And so we're planning to kind of take our kayaks out. We're going to paddle up to those areas and see if we can get some smallmouth. And, you know, we'll take the largemouth too. But also because our friend Trevor Montgomery, remember Trevor, Diane?
Yes.
He's the one that lost a leg. He's an amputee. He is out doing some camping. He's got new chair, and he's going to be in that area. I talked with him a little bit this week. He's going to be in that area, and so I'm hoping that maybe we'll get to find him and see him out there. But Ty, have you fished that particular area?
I have. That's a good spot, actually. I was going to say the smallmouth love it there around this time of year too, especially when you throw a red shallow diving crankbait around there.
Yeah.
You'll catch a couple nice ones for sure, but something about topwater, I just can't put it down, and that's probably a bad thing, but.
You know, I like some of your terminology and stuff. You said whenever you first started talking, and I really would like to say this correctly because I'd like to use it in the future. You said I really blew it up on the frog. Is that what you said?
When the fish blew up on the frog.
Blew up on the frog. What does that mean?
It comes out the water, and it just eats that whole bait, and it's just a big old explosion, like a bunch of chaos going on.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Blew up on the frog or whatever.
There's nothing. My most favorite way to catch bass would be some sort of topwater, because I've literally have seen those bass jump up out of the water and come down on top of that lure.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
It's a pretty spectacular thing to witness.
It is.
Know.
It truly is.
And it definitely will get your heart rate up, your blood pumping, adrenaline flowing, and it could be pretty exciting. But, hey, Ty, what's the largest bass you've caught in the area?
Well, that one's going to be hard to say. I had a scale, but then I had a husky, and she thought it would be a chew toy one day. So. But I've weighed a couple 7.5-pounders.
Wow.
So I'm just going to stick with the 7.5-pounders.
7.5-pound. Yeah, that is a huge bass. And when you're up there fishing, what pound test line are you usually using?
I'm running 65-pound braid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that line's not going to break on you then.
Yeah, because I got problems with setting the hook a little too hard, apparently, according to some of my friends. So
right.
They say just stick with the heavier stuff and you'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, well, I'll do that for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm from that school of thought that, oh, the fish is somehow going to see that line. But, man, when they're out there hitting, they're hitting.
Yeah, when they want to bite, they're going to bite it for sure, and they're not going to play no games.
Right. And so you mentioned this a little bit, but what are the other species of fish that you go after in that area?
Well, I will go trout fishing sometimes. It's just, it depends on how I'm feeling, but I love to catfish. Mm-hmm. Me and my buddy will go out and we'll camp and we'll just catfish all day and night. And we've had some good success out there on the pit doing that at the Big Eddy.
Right. Yeah. I have a good friend that's what he loves to do. He lives in Redding now, but his dad lives up there in Johnson Park outside of Bernie. And, when he goes up there to go fishing, what he does is he goes catfishing.
So
on the Pit River.
Don't you just sit there with the pole? Funny well, with the rod.
Well, you have a good time with your friends, too.
You're
going to get that.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a casual wait for the fish to come and bite. But if they're on the bite and you get in that place where they're at, I mean, it could be a lot of fun. You can catch some big catfish.
Yeah.
And I imagine there's some pretty good-sized ones there in the pit.
I haven't caught no big ones personally. My biggest is only 6.5 out of there off a little night crawler. But my buddy, he's caught a 14. And then my other buddy's caught a big enough one that made the news, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll have to send you a picture of that.
Yeah. Send that along. That's pretty amazing. And so, you also touched on this a little bit. And it's one of the things that I experienced when I lived in Bernie, because I came from Redding up to Bernie. And so in Redding, when you go out on Lake Shasta, those spots, they're basically hitting year round, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But up in Bernie, it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah. Typically, they're like the largemouth. They pretty much, they come in as spots and then they hang around so much they turn into a largemouth, basically. It seems like they bite shut off. They'll act just like how the largemouth are acting.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when the Pit River starts to hit again, they're the first ones to start to bite, which is good. And then slowly here come the largemouth. But for the most part, they're all right in there. I mean, they could do a little bit better for sure. But
right, but they slow down in the winter time though, right?
That whole river just shuts down pretty much completely. It's weird.
Yeah. Even out on Lake Britton, which I've fished a lot out there on my kayak, and, you know, summertime, boy, just awesome, great fishing. And then I've gone out in the wintertime, and if you catch a couple of fish, you've done very well.
Yeah.
Because they just seem to shut down up there. But right now, this time of year, great fishing up there.
Oh, yeah, it's fabulous right now. I'm seeing a lot of catches still coming out of there, which is good to see, because once I left, I was like, man, I'm going to miss that spot. But still seeing people pulling them out, and it's seen some nice ones coming out of Britton lately, too. So that's that's good to see.
Ty, who taught you to fish?
I taught myself pretty much. I mean, my buddy showed me how to throw the frog out, and that was all. And I learned how to hook them, learned how to de-hook, learned how to tie my own, everything. Like,
that's
I just
awesome.
Pretty much taught myself, and from there, it's just, I teach everyone else what I've learned.
But you're definitely a natural. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. You ever think about doing some guide service for up there?
I actually did think about doing a guide service on the Tule River for a long time. I wanted to get into it, but I didn't know exactly how to do it, but I figured it out, but one day I will, once I get that boat and the truck.
Right.
And then I'll probably take it on.
All right.
Try to take it on.
Yeah, if anybody out there would like to just give Ty the boat and the truck, then you can contact us here. And by the way, if you are wanting to text us a question for Ty, you can do that. You can text the question to 530-524-8280. That's 530-524-8280, and if it's a good question, we'll ask him that question. And Ty, did want to make mention that your mom is in the studio with us, Shannon, and your brother Austin, and their little pup Lulu. Am I saying that right? Is that right?
Yes, you are. Yes.
and so do you ever take your brother out fishing?
Yeah, he goes with me. He's pretty much the cameraman or the manager type deal going on.
Right.
He makes sure everything's good.
And is that because you can't catch fish?
Oh, he can catch some fish. He's caught some good bass.
Nice.
He loves the scenery, like you said. He loves to go out and just get out of the house for a little bit. And
right.
He'll get the pictures because he knows how I like the pictures and the videos. So
right.
I appreciate that of him.
Right. And then some of the pictures, I noticed that you have a GoPro strapped on. And so is there a place that people could actually see videos of you catching fish?
I do got a YouTube. I have a couple videos. They are old, but they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my name, Ty Sauer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Instagram, and a lot of my videos will go on there.
Right,
so.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
And so in case the listener doesn't know, Sauer is spelled S-A-U-E-R and Ty, T-Y. And so, and you could at least look them up on Facebook if you want to see some pictures of just fish after fish, large bass.
Blowing up on the frog.
Blowing up on the frog, that's right.
Dying to say that.
Hey, listen, it's time for us to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Ty Sauer and talk about fishing up in the Burney area. I want to talk to you, Ty, a little bit about Bomb Lake and get your thoughts on that. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair, still the best price in town, working hard on your dents, dings, and complete paint jobs if your car is peeling or faded. Call for your free written estimate today. They've worked on thousands of vehicles over the years here in Reading, and they accept all insurance companies. Call 530-226-0992.
We'll do it right, and we'll do it fast. Let us get you back on the road again.
Crossroads, we're here to get you back out on the road.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
Hey, Tyler Chapman is on the board tonight. Tyler, I'm really curious, what is the weather going to be like this weekend?
Well, I hope you're ready for hot. Today is 84 degrees, 59 for a low. Tomorrow's going to be 89, 61 for a low. Sunday's 91, 61 for a low. Monday is 92 and 63 for a low. Tuesday's going to be 93 and 65. Here we come. Wednesday's 99 and 68. Next Thursday, get ready, folks, 104 degrees for a high and 70 degrees for a low. And next Friday, when we're sitting here talking, it's going to be 107 degrees outside.
No.
Ooh.
So get ready.
Yeah, make sure you get this air conditioner going before we come into the studio next week, okay?
We'll do.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. But at least the weekend's not going to be too bad, but it looks like we are gearing up to finally get some actual Reading weather. I am glad I'm going to be up in the Burney area out there on Lake Britton. Fanny and I are going to go to what is called the Gas Line. It's a little kind of a makeshift ramp there.
That's where we went. That's where you took me.
No, I took you over by the dam. We went to the barge. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah. I remember catching the first fish. I do remember that. It was a small bass.
I don't remember that at all.
I do. Yeah, I'll never forget. I highly doubt it. I have a video.
I'm surprised that you even caught one. But
I did a selfie with him.
But hey, we are talking with Ty Sauer, and he's lived a long time up in the Burney, California area. I got to live up there for about 5 years, and it's a hidden gem when it comes to even bass fishing. But there is a lake up there that is very well known for trout fishing. One time I was talking to somebody about, oh yeah, I'm going to go fish for trout on Bomb Lake, that's B-A-U-M, Bomb Lake, and the person replied, that's not fishing, that's called catching, because that's pretty much what you do there. Ty, have you ever fished Bomb Lake?
I have, and that's a funny story that you say it's called catching, because every time I go there, the fish avoid me.
Right.
Something about trout. They just don't like me in that lake.
So, oh, is that right?
Yeah. They will not bite my stuff. And it's like, okay, well, yeah. I'll just go right up the road and go catch these 6-7 pounders and we'll call it good.
It's amazing. I go out there. Of course, I go out there in my kayak, but I see a lot of people fishing from the shore. There's actually a fishing platform there for wheelchair access if somebody needs to get there. And I've seen people reel in quite a few trout there, and there are some actual really large trout that people can pull out of there. I believe that that lake remains well stocked. It's right there by the fish hatchery. And so I'm just wondering how often they just dump some fish in that lake.
I'm not sure how often they do stock that lake, but I know it's stocked pretty regularly. Like, you can go there and you'll for sure catch a fish if you're trying to learn how to fish, or if you're trying to teach your kid how to fish, or just trying to get someone on a fish so they're happy and having a good time. That's where you're going to go for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful place to go. There's times when I was just in a mood to have trout for dinner, you know.
Yeah.
And so I would just run out to Balm Lake and launch my kayak and go out there. And sometimes in the evening, those trout will start breaking the water and you'll just see a whole school of them, and just take I would just use a little spinner bait, throw it across those fish and reel it in and get one on, you know, go home and have some trout for dinner. And so,
I'm going to use a whopper plopper personally.
A whopper plopper.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a bass. More
well,
for
I'm not,
bass.
I'm sorry, we're not back on bass yet, because that's all I want to fish.
Yeah, just for bass.
I don't really like trout that much.
Oh, is
that
right?
I like, well, is trout white fish meat? Is it white?
Well, it just depends on what kind of trout it is. Yeah.
Some are white and some are not.
Are pink, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it'll match.
I'm not an
rod.
Expert in that area, but I have caught enough trout to know that there are some differences.
Well,
in the
I just know
kind
that
trout.
I like to eat I like halibut too.
Right.
I like to eat bass.
No halibut in the
no
lakes
halibut.
Around here.
Yeah, I know that. But I really like that meat.
Like the bass.
I like the bass.
Yeah, I do too.
It's not real fishy tasty.
It's delicious.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if when I catch them and decide that I'm going to bring some home for dinner, I just fillet them up, and so there's no bones, and you can fry them babies up, and it's some good eating. And so, Ty, tell us about your most successful day fishing. Do you have a day that stands out for you?
Yeah, it was probably during the spawn up at the Little Tule River about 2 years ago. Me and my buddy were out there, and as soon as we stepped foot on the first cove, we looked down and you could just see schools of giant bass, and it seems like we caught like probably 45, 50 fish that day.
Wow.
Wow.
Like every flip, there was a giant bass, and we ranged probably every fish went from at least 4.5 to at least 7 pounds.
Wow.
And they were all off a jig.
I'm going with you. I'm going to go fishing with
you. We were walking down the bank line, and you'd look over and there's a bass sitting right there. You'd pitch your jig at him. He would take off, come back, and just slam it.
Wow.
And you just catch them. And I mean, I was walking around with one rod in the hand, all my rods in the other hand, and I was still flipping, catching them, trying to reel them in. Like, what am I doing right now? But
right.
That was probably one of the most crazy days I've had fishing in a while.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so do you have one of those stories about, you know, when the big one got away?
I got that on video the other day, too, actually.
Yeah?
What happened?
Tell us about it.
Went to the Tule River and go to the spot I normally always catch a fish out, because I know there's always going to be a fish sitting on this rock wall.
Right.
Threw that spinnerbait out there, and you just seen him wake over and crush it. And I set the hook, drag slipped, somehow still managed to fight him. Fought him for a good couple minutes, probably. He jumped out the water a couple times. At that point, I feel like he should have spit the lure instead of playing with my heart a little bit. But
right.
Came up on my feet, right at my feet, and turned, and it just came out. And it just... It was a decent-sized fish. It would have probably beat a 7-pounder for sure. Like,
right.
This fish had a belly on it. It was long. Like, it was a big fish for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's something about the hurt of losing a fish. I hate it when I'm going out and it's the very first fish. I don't know why, because there's something about getting that very first fish in, and you feel like, okay, well, I know I caught at least one.
Yeah.
And so you get that first fish on the line and you start bringing it in and it somehow gets off, it's like, oh, I sure hope I get another fish on. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't, there was my chance right there.
Right.
And I almost blew it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you take people out and you're trying to show them how to fish, what is some of the challenges as far as teaching them? You did say a little bit on the casting reel that, you know, getting the backlash and all of that. What are some other challenges that people have?
Trying to teach them how to run those lures right, or mm-hmm. how to work them in a way to make those fish bite. Because, I mean, yeah, you can cast out there, reel it in, you'll catch a fish. But sometimes it takes you cast it out there, twitch it a little bit, speed it up, stop and go
mm-hmm.
to get those fish to actually trigger the bites.
And right.
when I try to explain to people, sometimes they get frustrated, and that's where you gotta really help them out and let them know it's okay, like, to get frustrated. That's part of fishing. That's
right.
That's how you're going to get past that point. And after a minute, they'll finally get it down, and they'll have a good time after that. And I'm like, oh, I see what you mean. I'm like, see, it's all it is. It's just practice makes perfect in ways.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. It makes a difference. And a lot of people, they don't realize. They see somebody like you, and you're mm-hmm. reeling in these monster bass, and they think, well, they can just go out and stand right next to you and catch them just the same. And that just isn't true. It takes some finesse, it takes some know-how, some experience, some feel to be able to reel those fish in.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people think, well, first, a lot of people think there's no bass in the Tule River.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to show them pictures to prove them. And yeah, there's some trophy-sized trout in there. There's a lot of big fish in there, actually.
Right.
But it takes a lot to get those bass to bite. They're stubborn, they're hard to fish for, but it's really rewarding in the end. Like, just put time and effort in, and just you'll figure them out once you figure them out.
Right.
It sounds to me like everybody has their own style too. I mean, like you guys, you know, how you fish is different than how you fish. Everyone, like, as you fish, you just kind of get to be comfortable with your own style of fishing, right?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with where you're fishing and how you're fishing, and you get used to using that particular lure or bait or whatever it is that you're using. And so there are some ways to be able to use that correctly. And so
sure.
So that, you know, and yes, you're right, Diane. I think a lot of the ways that I'm fishing are different, but I'm out usually in a kayak and I'm casting in towards the shore. And so it's a little bit of a different thing than when you're on the shore and you're bringing it in. It's a different thing if you're using a topwater as opposed to something that might be bouncing off of the bottom of the lake or the river or wherever you're fishing.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of difficult, you know, sometimes fishing from the boat. You know, from the kayak, because sometimes you're moving when you're not wanting to move, and mm-hmm. and then, you know, oh, God, put my rod down. I said it. And then, you know, and get your paddle and paddle back a little bit, and,
yeah.
you know, and just trying to, that's why I want to get one of those hobo things.
Right.
The hobo boats.
Right. Yeah. I think people would be very surprised, and it doesn't take a really large bass to be able to pull that kayak
right.
around when you're trying to reel it in. And there have been a number of times where I've had one on and it's pulling me right to the shore, right to the brush, something like that, and have to try to paddle back, but still keep that line tight enough to keep that fish on so it doesn't shake the hook. Well, Ty, listen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. This has been a real joy. It's been just a joy to meet you in person, to hear about what you're doing, to share with our audience about fishing up in the Intermountain area, specifically for bass, because most people just think trout. But, man, it's some great bass fishing up there. And so thank you for being here tonight.
I thank you guys for this opportunity. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Diane, what do you got going on here?
I'm
going
to go blow up some on the frog stuff. I'm going to go get those fish to blow up on my frog. I don't think I said that right.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Well,
you know,
anyways, let's move on.
Yeah,
move on.
Where is the mute button for your microphone? I'm telling you.
I just want to use that whopper plopper.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something that Todd Cerna talked to us about last week, and I definitely would like to try that myself. But anyway, hey, Diane, next week we have Chad White, who is a golf pro from Gold Hills, is going to be here. We're going to talk about
nice.
Golfing. And so we haven't done
nice.
A program yet on golfing.
We haven't.
And so that's a great outdoor recreation. Well, To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We encourage you to get outdoors and enjoy God's great creation. We promise it will do your soul well.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.